Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, popular music playing on a device transforms into a demonic voice. Who is the strange man in a yellow shirt that appears night after night? Spoiler alert, it's not R. Kelly. And do dream visions match up to historical facts of a tragic death? Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome. Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it is. If you like the show, hey, support it. Become an EPP, extra podcast person, on our website, ghostpodcast.com. Get all the advanced episodes there. You get a free e-copy of our book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People, an Amazon bestseller. You get that when you become an EPP. And, yeah, access all the advanced episodes and EPP stuff every week, ghostpodcast.com. Do check it out. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you on today's program. And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. So that's not a creepy story about R. Kelly?
No, it's not an R. Kelly story. I mean, everyone but seems to really have one right now.
With all respect, any story about R. Kelly is creepy.
With all respect. I don't even think respect is due at this point. If you watched Surviving R. Kelly, there ain't no respect.
That's just creepy.
Oh, my God. What's just so messed up about that whole thing is, you know, I remember when I remember when the Aaliyah stuff went down back in the day, and everybody just kind of like, well, that's weird, you know, that you kind of were married or rumored to date a 14-year-old, and there was like, okay, well, but it was like never quite confirmed back then, and then all the allegations just kept coming, and then the video came out, he went on trial, and it was in his house, it was his fucking awards were in the background. And he was still found innocent, and he still continued to have a career. I don't know how the hell that happens, but it's messed up. Although an interesting thing that was pointed out, and by no means does it, you know, dismiss anything that he did, but what an interesting point that was made though in that documentary. If you want to watch a creepy documentary, by the way, it's on Lifetime. It's called Surviving R. Kelly. There is certainly. Historically in popular music since rock and roll has begun, of the older man having an affinity for the young teenage girl up until, you know, hell. I mean, think of Benny Mardone's Into the Night. What a creepy song that is. That's a creepy freaking music video too. And you know, there's just so many songs that's like this older guy talking about the 15-year-old, the 16-year-old, or she's just 17, you know what I mean, and all that shit. And it's always kind of been there. And finally society has said, you know what, that's kind of fucked up. And this is where we're at, thank God. But for the longest time, this was in, you know, good times, great oldies. You know, it's like, what the fuck?
Well, and I'm glad that finally something's happened with R. Kelly.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like I think it's so sad for these women. Like, nobody listened to them.
Yeah, it is.
He would be a creepy ghost. Like, he'd be that. You don't want to be haunted by that guy.
No, you don't. Oh, God. No, you don't. You just hear like some weird ranting song coming out of a closet, and you'd be like, "Holy shit, is that
It's R. Kelly.
Is that the ghost of R. Kelly? Like, I hear him knocking all of a sudden. My mind's telling me no. Like, oh my God, it's R. Kelly. But my body, no, not R. Kelly, wrong place. My body's telling me, Oh my God, it's R. Kelly. He's right there. I see his shadow. I don't see nothing wrong with haunting the shit out of your house. I don't, like, oh my God. I see a lot wrong with that.
I think that's one ghost I would be so pissed off about. Yeah. That I'd be like, absolutely not. Like, there is no way.
It's worse than Lucifer himself. Fucking yeah. R. Kelly haunting your house.
Worse than the demonic beer I'm drinking tonight. Like, that's creepy. For some reason, like, I just went to get some beer before I did this.
Yeah.
And, like, there's this really creepy looking beer. And I'm like, that works for tonight.
Go for the one with the pentagram. Yeah.
Well, I texted you a picture. It's like, I don't know what it is.
It looks like a goat man.
Some kind of demon.
It looks like a goat man. We've talked about that before. It's like this half goat, half man. And it's actually, I actually went on a ghost walk.
Yeah, it has man breasts.
Yeah, I went on a walk with a man, a guy who wrote the book about that, about goat man is what it was called. And he told me all about, like, in all different, I mean, almost every state has a lore about this thing, and they call it goat man in some areas, they call it something in others, and it's not quite on the level of like a Bigfoot or a Yeti. It's this whole other thing, because this thing like appears and disappears, which kind of puts it more in the demon category than anything else. But it looks like some sort of weird mythological, you know, creature in the woods that's going to eat your family, but Or be on
it
a beer bottle.
It does look creepy, but the beer's good.
Well, good. You're going to be possessed, and you're selling your soul forever for that one beer. But
well, the beer's good and cold.
I hope you enjoy it. 855.
Yeah, next week, this show's going to be all different.
Exactly.
Like Carol drank the demon beer.
What happened to Carol? She had the fucking beer, and that's where it went. So
that was it. And R. Kelly showed
up. And we did an R. Kelly bit. So, yeah, there you go. It was 855-853-4802, our number. At Real Ghost Stories Online, let's go into our first ghost story. And, excuse me, it starts out, I don't have any one particular story. Just wanted to mention a few of the long list of occurrences that have happened to my mom's house over the years. To start with, everyone in the house has seen a pale little girl with long dark hair and a long white nightgown. I've lived in the basement and had my first child. I walked into the living area where my daughter's swing was and saw this little girl sitting in the front of her swing. Maybe it was on top of her swing. This was some time ago. My memory's a little foggy. Another time I walked into my bedroom to see this little girl sitting cross-legged on my bed with her head down and her long black hair short and fallen in her face. I blinked my eyes because I thought I saw things. When I opened my eyes, she was still there. I ran out of there so fast. In the same room, my daughter, a newborn at the time, would always stare at this one particular spot on the wall and start screaming hysterically at the top of her lungs. Our dog would also look at the same spot and bark nonstop. This basement has a kitchen area, and one day was washing dishes, playing music on my phone when the phone went all screwy all of a sudden and sounded all distorted and slow and sounded nothing like what I was originally playing. It sounded demonic or something, and simultaneously, I was overcome with a feeling of dread, and I felt almost like something was behind me and wanted to hurt me. My sister's room was in the attic, and one day, we were standing in the middle of the room, and a glass slid across the shelf and flew across the room in between us. Also in this attic, we have seen a black cloud mist-looking thing more than once. Now, I no longer live in that house. I have an apartment of my own, but recently, every morning when my boyfriend leaves for work around 5 a.m., I feel pressure on the edge of my bed as if someone is getting into bed with me. This scared the shit out of me the first time I rolled over in the bed. I've lived here for 3 years, and I've only started experiencing some weird things here this past year. Sorry, it's kind of long. I just wanted you to see what was going on and get any input. I love your show. Keep up the good work. Thoughts on all the weird things going down there?
You know, I always wonder, like, you live in a house for a while and then it starts, like, quite a while after you live there. I mean, maybe her house is like mine, not haunted, but there's just some weird things maybe that kind of are more around her. I just think it's weird to live there for a year and not have anything happen.
Yeah, I mean, it almost makes you wonder, you know, there's, I think, one of two things going on here. Either she brought something in or something was brought in, you know, outside from outside of the house, or something was triggered within the house. You know, sometimes you hear stories of, you know, nothing was going on until we started remodeling and we ripped a wall down and changed things. And then that seems to stir things up quite frequently.
What about like it being somebody who is close to her? That is, you know, like how your parent, mm-hmm. I don't know, her parents, what they're, or a grandmother, how they sit on your bed when you're a kid and you feel that comfort.
Yeah.
Because she didn't really say it scared the crap out of her.
Like maybe it's someone that from the other side that just decided, hey, I'm now going to go haunt you and check in. Just like a relative dropping in unannounced, but they're dead.
Possibly. I mean, I don't know. Because like sometimes I swear I feel my dad around me very strongly, and then, but not all the time.
Sure. So it's not like he's taking up residence in your house. Just sometimes he pops by, essentially.
And he might be the one I see walking around sometimes. I don't know.
But your house is not haunted.
It's not haunted. But maybe her house is kind of like that. Now, the mom's house mm-hmm. with the kid, yeah, that's creepy.
And, but the kids,
I just think ghost kids are creepy.
They are creepy, but there's a sadness there. I mean, you usually get one of two directions there. Either it's something that's not really a kid and looking like a kid, or it's...
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that.
Which is also R. Kelly's defense.
Okay, you almost just made me spit my demon beer out.
You see the person there, it looks like a kid, but it's not really a kid. Like that's not going to work in your case. I'm sorry, Mr. Robert. But in the case of that, sometimes with ghosts, you have the demonic thing that's making you feel, oh, you know, why are you here, you poor thing? Yeah. And then there is just the lost kid that's, you know, there. And sometimes that's just what it is.
Man, you just want to, like, come on.
Yeah.
There's someplace better for you than sitting here in my mom's house day after day.
Yeah.
You know, aren't you bored? But, either I don't know, it just makes me sad.
You got to wonder, though, it's like, you know, maybe they are, but maybe there's no other option. There's no other place for them to go, or they can't go anywhere else. And they're just, they're waiting for something, but it's beyond us to be able to get them there. You don't know. Yeah.
It's like it just is sad because it's like, shouldn't be that way with a kid.
No.
You know, it's sad enough a kid dies.
Yeah. No.
And then if they're stuck, I mean, that's bad.
It's something you never want to think about. Thanks for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I am trying to not get sick right now. Jen has... We all got our flu shots this year. Let me start by saying that. But then the girls came home sick about a week ago. And it just seemed kind of like a cold because it wasn't very bad. But it's just kind of lingering. Then Jen got sick. And it was a bit worse with her. Went to the doctor. And they said, it's the flu. And the thing is, we all got our flu shots. So they're like, well, you know, it's not going to be probably the full-blown flu. But you got your shots, but you're going to have like some kind of, it'll be kind of flu-like. So it's just this kind of lingering thing. And I went for several days without any symptom whatsoever. I was the last one standing without getting it. And then I started to kind of feel it. So I've been taking my zinc and Zicam and drinking tons of vegetable juice and everything. And just trying to maintain not getting sick. But I've now been sitting here for like 5 days with that feeling of like, I'm almost getting sick, but I'm not quite yet. So I don't know if I'm just like putting off the inevitable by being uber healthy, or if this is just going to eventually, I'm going to win this battle. I don't know.
Well, and the problem is that the other people in your house have been sick.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's going to happen. I'm going to get it.
I'm getting it.
You know, then you're hypersensitive to anything.
I know.
Like, oh, that's the first symptom.
I'm sitting here.
I'm going to get it.
Oh, I'm congested, kind of got the sore throat going on, but it's not bad. I'm just like, either give it, I want it to get sick and get it done with, or this to just go away. I don't know what the hell's going on, but I'll take this over what Jen's dealing with right now. She's just been feeling kind of miserable the last couple of days. So,
at least you got the flu shot.
It's that time of year. Yeah, exactly. Proven though, even though we did get the flu shot, we still couldn't get the flu. And I know that is a possibility. It's still a good thing to always get the flu shot. I would never speak against that or any vaccination. It's all good. Get your kids vaccinated. Do it. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next letter. It says, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Brianna. I'm from outside of Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I'm a very light sleeper, and for many years when I was young, I'd wake up in the middle of the night. I was about 5 to 13 years old when I slept in this bunk bed, which was midway in the air. The railings were high enough so that my parents could hang blankets all around so I could feel safer in my large room and not have to stare out into the darkness trying to fall asleep. The door to my bedroom was right behind my bunk bed. When I'd wake up in the night, I'd stand up on the bed and peer over into the long hallway with my parents' door at the end of the way open to make sure it was clear. Then I'd make a run for it. This particular night, when I was about 8 years old, I got down from the bunk bed and stopped right at my door for a very strange light that I saw coming from a window adjacent to my parents' door. It was as if a 2D projection had come from this window and appeared right on the door. No cars had driven by, and it was very quiet. This projection looked like a large picture frame with a man standing with his back to me, wearing a yellowed shirt. I only saw the upper part of his body. It stood there for a good 10 seconds. The man did not move, and I was terrified. I clenched my fist and whispered to him to go away. The projection came off the wall and disappeared into the ceiling. I ran so fast to my parents' bed, jumped in without asking, which is what I usually did, and had a hard time sleeping. I believe this man to be my grandfather, father of my mom. I never met him because he died before I was born. When I was young, I had a fascination with him and wanted to know more about him because I felt somewhat close to him. So the next day, when I went to ask my grandmother about him, I asked my grandfather if he owned a yellow shirt. Quite a vague question, but yes, indeed, he had a particular favorite yellow shirt that he used to wear all the time. I felt bad for being scared and telling him to go away, but grateful he gave me a visit. Another part of this story is the little friends that would visit to comfort me when I was scared. They only came when I was in my parents' bed. I slept right in between my mother and father, staring up at the ceiling. Oftentimes, some static would appear above my head, as that's the only way I can describe it. It was red, blue, and green colors dancing and floating above. It's hard to explain what they were. They were like poppy seed-sized colored dust floating in the air. I was never scared of them. Instead, they gave me comfort and distracted me. This happened for many, many years, and over time, the green ones disappeared, then the blue, and then the red. I stopped seeing them when I was about 10 years old, but haven't forgotten. Thanks for everything you do on the show. Keep up the good work. And your thoughts?
Well, I don't know about the color things. I'm not sure what that could be.
I don't know if that's orb-like, but static is an interesting way of describing it.
Yeah. I mean, because it could just be some kind of weird hallucination you're having. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to know.
But it could be something else. But the grandfather one's interesting to me. That she'd never met the grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but a yellow shirt, and that was enough clue. But I just think that is fascinating when the kids don't even know the grandparents or somebody, mm-hmm. and they've seen him. I just think that's, I don't know. It kind of goes back to the last story we were talking about, that maybe it's a comforting, like a person in your life. That's sitting on your bed because you're not being hurt.
Sure.
It's more like being watched after. But I just think that's so fascinating that kids can see a grandparent who's never been around in their life.
I think it's just one of those things where for a lot of kids, it's like that window is open to see over there for a certain period of time and then it closes. But I don't think it's for every kid. I think there's more kids than there are adults, but I think it at some point, for most, it just closes.
Agreed.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
I totally agree with that.
Story. I got a fun story of a way that I was almost killed this week by a snack food. That's coming up.
And that's a fun story?
That's a fun story. It's coming up on the countdown. Now, on with the countdown. Story number 3. Moving up a notch to number... I moved into what seemed to be a lovely house in Ontario. Rented the basement with my spouse. started roughly a month after we moved in, with sounds we could not place, the things being moved, entire cabinets being rearranged within minutes. Then a small childlike handprint started appearing on my closet mirrors. They started appearing on my bathroom mirrors. Things started getting broken. We tried to be friendly towards whatever it was. As we heard the sound of children, we tried to mother them and parent them. We all felt sorry for them. At the time I was living there, I was very depressed. One day I saw this little boy. I called him John. He was crying in the corner. And then he was in the middle of the room, on his knees, crying into my dress. I talked to him, gave him toys, told him it was okay. Things calmed down for a while, then they stopped altogether. I cleared the house, and it seemed they had all left. However, it all flared up a month later, worse before. People started getting hit, poked, slapped. I got poked and experienced feelings of sadness, almost like I was dead. I didn't understand. Very strong depression. I started to have reoccurring dreams of John playing and then dying. He choked to death each time in my dream on an apple. It made no sense to us as to where we lived. I guess it used to be a farm, so that may make some sense. However, the haunting would not stop. We tried to clean the house again, stopped for another month, then it would get worse, on and off, very worse. The physical contact was very aggressive. One night, my friend stayed over and said she heard laughter and noise in the kitchen. She claimed she thought it was my rabbit at first, but then realized the rabbit was in the cage in a different room. She heard soft crying. It sounded like a little girl, she thought. Never returned to my house after that. Another night, we were getting poked and hit violently. And then we heard a voice ask if it could hear him. It has hit us very hard. And then it said, "Is there something you want me to know?" It hit his head very hard again. All this time I heard soft noises I could not place. Then he asked, "How old are you?" It first hit his head 8 times. Then 10, then 6, 8 again. He asked, "Is there something you want to show me?" my friend said. Then this thing started hitting him hard. He then asked, "I'm going to name places of the house. When I name a place, let me know." He started naming areas. When he said kitchen, it started hitting him repeatedly. He went to the kitchen and heard the garbage rustling and then ran back to the room. And the noises and sounds became louder and more persistent. On a holiday, we were enjoying our dinner, and the plates and dishes in the kitchen were smashing into the sink. I also had my Rosin, which is a special wax for violin, smashed into pieces. And all my goblets were destroyed, the knives thrown off the walls. Another day, I was sitting by the computer. I got smashed in the head by an unseen blunt object. It appeared as though I was getting the rough end of the violence. Another time, I was in my house alone. I got the feeling of being watched by something and the feeling that it wanted me dead. I always felt this way in the house after that. One night, Jay and I were lying in bed, and by this time we could not sleep in the dark anymore. We saw a dark shadow appear in the corner. It grew and grew. He jumped up and turned on the light, and it was gone. I was left with that feeling again. This is where it gets really scary. I started to get the feeling that there was more than one thing in the house. I started to get very ill, stomach and sore all over. We could not figure out what was going on. I still felt very unwelcome in my own home, and I wasn't sure what to do anymore. One night, just before Jason came home, I was showering and thought he came home. I heard him say hi. I yelled back hi, but I didn't get any response. Then I saw a seriously scary face looking through the shower curtain at me. I batted at the curtain, and I called out my friend's name. I looked out, and there was no one there. He wasn't even home yet. I left the shower wet, just in a towel, and sat outside in the stairs until he came home. Another night, before he came home, I was in the shower yet again. He was due to be home any minute. He walked into the house to me crying, walking out of the bathroom, bleeding from my face. I had been scratched 18 times, perfect lines across my cheek. He calmed me down and I went to the bedroom. He was inspecting the bathroom, and in 1 minute, I got attacked again. This time on both breasts, on top of them, 22 slices on each one. He freaked out, walked me to the bathroom to clean up my face and chest, then turns around for a second, and I get it again all along my back and spine. They burned like no tomorrow. It was the worst pain I've ever felt, and they also burned for 3 days after. We decided we would leave as soon as possible. The night before we moved, I went to bed and woke up in the morning perfectly fine, but my leg was killing me. I couldn't figure out why, being half asleep. I didn't think to look on my leg. Later in the morning, I wondered why my leg was so freaking sore. I looked down and was shocked. A burn from my space heater was on it, the size of my palm, second degree. What boggles me still is the fact I'm the world's lightest sleeper. Jason stirs once in his sleep, and I'm wide awake. The burn still hasn't fully healed, and it's been 2.5 months. And the scars in my chest are still there. So there's a prime example of kind of something we were talking about earlier, where it seemed like, oh, it's just an innocent child, and it turns out to be something much darker than that.
I don't even know where to start with that.
Dark shit.
Like, there was so many things that would have been, like, a complete story by itself. And then she's like, and then it gets worse.
Yeah. I'm always cautious when we keep plateauing over and over. I'm like, oh, God, it just keeps going. What's going to happen next?
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, if I was asking something questions and it was hitting me, I'd be like, okay, I'm done asking you questions.
Yeah.
So you can be nice. But that was, like, all of that. That's horrible.
No. I'm glad that they finally did.
I can imagine.
Yeah, take that initiative and say.
Constantly.
Yeah. And finally say, it's time to leave.
Oh, my God. Yeah. But like we've discussed, sometimes that's not always. You can't.
No.
You know, $1,000 deposit, $1,000 a month rent. Like, you got to come up with a lot of money to move.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, it's like your options in many cases are going to be, well, either you enjoy sleeping in the back of that Corolla, or you just kind of are going to have to deal with this for a little while and try and figure out a way to leave or save up to leave, if that's even a possibility. I feel so bad for a lot of you, just kind of stuck.
Something like attacking you physically.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't live with that.
No. No, you can't. And I feel bad for so many folks who are just stuck in those situations, because that's usually the easiest response from everybody on the outside is, why didn't you move? Easier said than done in a lot of cases, you know?
Well, so. did she say at the end there that they did move or they were going to move?
They're planning on moving.
Sheek.
So that's worse.
Get here soon enough.
I know.
Because I'd be scared. Like, okay, we want to move. We're moving in a month. If we can make it.
Yeah, exactly. How many, you know, weird, you know, sometimes police, there'll be this, you know, story on the news of, you know, people found dead in their apartment and, like, there's no suspects. Like, we think it, suicide seems to be the only thing, or natural causes. We don't really know. And it's just kind of unsolved. How many of those cases are results of things like this, where there is no other human interaction? It's something like this that occurred.
And the crazy thing is if in a situation like that, they would suspect him.
Exactly,
because
yeah.
she's all scratched up and burned, and it looks like horrible violence.
It does. But good
domestic
luck,
violence.
But good luck saying the ghost did it. I don't know that would held up, or has ever held up in a court.
Like, that ain't going to hold up in court.
No. And she would have to be there to say, no, this is not. It wasn't him. But if she's gone, you know, scary story. Thank you for sharing that with us. So snack foods tried to kill me this last week, which, you know, there you go. If you had to guess what type of snack food tried to kill me, what would you pick?
In my head, Cheetos popped in my brain. Mm.
Those are delicious, but it was not Cheetos. I was actually trying to eat a little healthier. I got this nice little like individual size snack. It had whole cashews in it, which were unsalted, which is really an abomination because you should salt cashews no matter what.
God, I agree. It's like unsalted almonds. Why?
What's the fucking
unless
point?
You're baking with them?
I know.
And even then, a little salt.
Exactly. And then there was like dried cranberries in there, and like those like sesame sticks, which I kind of enjoy. But yeah, a little salt in there would have gone a long way. But I tell you what would not go a long way. A screw in your snack mix. That's not part of this complete breakfast.
What?
Yeah. So I was blindly eating out of the bag as I'm working on stuff. And then I'm chewing, and all of a sudden I get this hard thing in my mouth. I'm like, what the heck is that? And I'm just thinking maybe it's like a shell of a, you know, cashew. I don't know. But I'm thinking it's just like something hardened of the food, because that happens. And then I get it out of my mouth. Oh, look, it's a screw.
It was
in the snack mix.
Like, yeah. You didn't just happen to pick it up from your desk or something?
No, I know it was in there because I was reaching just directly into the bag. And I don't normally keep piles of tiny screws around my desk. So I was reaching in there. I'm like, oh, my God. So like, well, this is bizarre. So I thought, OK, well, I should probably notify them of this in case there's something wrong with a piece of equipment. And what was most shocking to me is how that process went. First, I contacted the corporate of the store that I bought the product from, saying, hey, I bought this product at X store, and here's what I found in it. I don't know. I'm just kind of concerned that maybe there's more of these things out there, because should you swallow that, that could tear you up pretty good. And they didn't even call me back. They're like, well, leave a voicemail over here for Lenny in customer service, and they'll get back to you. Nope, never got back to me, and a whole week went by. So I thought, well, I'm going to contact the manufacturer to let them know about it. And I'm not doing it to say, hey, give me a bunch of money so I don't sue you or anything like that. I'm just, hey, check this out so, you know, an 8-year-old doesn't eat this and die. So I got a hold of them, and I kept getting voicemail after voicemail, and I kept calling back saying, can I just speak to someone about this? Because you might have an issue here. And the receptionist at this company was like, look, they're all gone. You do whatever you have to do. I'm like, well, I'm just trying to let you know so you don't get sued by somebody, because, you know, this could be kind of an issue when you have sharp metal parts in your snacks. Well, they're not here, and if you don't leave a message, then they're never going to get back to you. Okay. So I left a message, and they finally did get back to me about a week later. And they were apologetic, and they were saying, I don't know how this got past our metal detectors. And they asked the metal detector snacks. That's good. Well, it did. So they
the
said,
fact that they have to run them through metal detectors, yeah, makes me think there was a reason that it had to start.
they're packing heat. You know, sometimes the cashews get a little rowdy and they start, carrying weapons. So they sent me a box to return the snack, you know, with it. And then today in the mail, I got a check for $5.
Oh, so,
I'm going to run out and get another bag and see if I can press my luck.
Well, I bet you just can't wait to eat that crap again.
I know. But I was just like, holy shit. Like, this was a sharp screw. What I was shocked by was just how long it took for anybody to respond and even act, yeah, like they cared. And I'm just thinking, shit, like, this shit should get off your shelf pretty quick. At least be inspected again if your machines are breaking down and shit's falling into your food. Maybe this is more of a common occurrence than I think.
Well, that could be it. There's a metal detector that, yeah, they scan their snack items through. Why?
I don't know. I guess I thought higher of people, which is usually a bad thing because that usually never pans out. But I just thought, you know, there may be some urgency here. We should take a look at this.
Crazy.
And I did all the nice right things. I didn't jump on social media and post a picture with the brand and tag it and this and that.
You still could.
Which I could. But at the same point, I'm
I'm not that person.
I don't know. I just feel like if I did, it's like it's my word against theirs. And someone could say, I just don't want to get into it. That's why I'm not even saying the name of the company. And I'm not. But it's just like, you know, I get why people do that, because this is what happens when you go through the correct lines of communication. Shit. Nothing happens. Shit happens. So it's like, I don't know. Is that the world we live in?
You've got $5.
I know. I should just be happy and shut up. But it's just like, do they expect just to be called out and then they'll react? If you just kind of whisper to them, hey, there might be a problem with this. Maybe you should look into it. Like, fuck you. It's like, okay.
And I find now most people go over, like they overcompensate.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like if you have a complaint in a restaurant because they're just afraid you're going to blow them up on Yelp or something.
Yeah.
And I get that.
I know.
But like you should, that's ridiculous. Like that should be a oh crap moment for the company.
Yeah. Just trying to be helpful.
And years ago, I got some French fries from a local place I will not name. Mm-hmm. And I got all the way done with them. And I thought there was like a little burned French fry in the bottom.
Yeah.
But it was a cockroach. And so I called them. So I'm like, they go, well, oh my God, we're so sorry. We just got it sprayed for roaches. Oh, like, well, obviously. It worked. And so they're like, can we get your address? And I go, why do you need my address? Is it just to put on file for my complaint or something? Uh-huh. She goes, no, we're going to send you a gift certificate. I'm like, do you really think I'll eat there again? Like, I don't want the gift certificate. I will never eat there again. I mean, why?
Is it still in business?
Yeah.
Okay.
It sure is.
Off the air, you'll have to tell me what that is. I'm curious.
I sure will. Okay. But I don't want to say anything. But I was like, I don't want your product ever again.
No. Once that shit happens.
I don't even want to drink at your place. No. I'm afraid what would be at the bottom of the ice.
No, you just kind of know. Okay. I'm done. Thank you all. But no. Scary stuff. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. This is a caller who actually sent me some videos on Facebook this week. Creepy stuff. I'm going to let him share the story. We'll comment on the backside.
How are you guys doing? I'm calling from Cincinnati, Ohio. I work for a security company. I don't want to really say any names, but the building that we are working in right now is... It was built in 1895 to be as a luxury hotel. Well, it's been like that now. It's just for housing. They've been doing a lot of remodeling lately. I guess it's waking things up. I don't know, but one of the contractors came in there this morning. He was talking to us, and he showed us a video of a cast iron gate that he had to put up on the stairwell from where he was working. It leads from the second floor or the third floor down to the second and then the first, which would be the boiler room. Well, he showed us the video, and it was insane. The video, like the cast iron gate itself weighs about 65 pounds. It's there to prevent anybody going down there to hurt themselves. The gate lifted up and pulled back and then slammed forward really hard. And it did this a couple times in the video. Nothing was there. Nobody was there. I don't know how to explain it, but it's just creepy. You get the whole, like, weirded out vibe throughout the whole place. I don't know if because the building's so old or what, but you get the feeling of you're being watched. This place has had countless, deaths. It's been open since, 1895, so there has to be, countless deaths. And there's been a couple murders there. It's been on the first 48 twice that I know of. It's just... it's just a feeling you get. One of the deaths that he was telling us about this morning was of a 10-year-old girl or an 8-year-old girl. And she was apparently on the 10th floor and she fell out and she ended up passing away. Well, if you go down to the second or first floor, you can hear a little girl singing. One went down there to try to find the little girl because apparently he was there working one night, heard the girl singing, probably thought she got lost. It was probably about 3 or 4 in the morning, so he went down there to look for it. Didn't find her. Instead, he got pulled up and thrown against the wall. He came running up from the first to second to third, came over real quick, clocked out, and he said, "I'm done." And he left. We have about 85 monitors. We're at our security desk, and we can literally sit there and watch orbs fly up and down the stairwells. It's like really creepy. One of the videos he showed us was two orbs, and they were in tandem of each other, and they were moving very slowly up and down, and then finally moving down to the lower left of the screen, and that was it. He went in there because he probably thought it was maybe some dust or something, so he ended up wiping the screen. He said while he was in there, it was one of the coldest things he has ever felt in his life. He said he thought maybe one of the other workers left the windows open because it's we're just getting out of December. So we're in January, and he thought maybe they opened the windows. He went in there, checked, and there was nothing. Then the windows were open. So he went back in there, checked the monitor, recorded it. And while he was standing in there, he was watching himself on the monitor. There was one of the orbs came back through and was on top of his chest. I've asked multiple, you know, residents and stuff if they've seen anything, and they keep telling me, you know, I've seen weird things. One guy stood out more than the other. He said, well, I was, you know, I usually sleep up on the seventh floor, and one night when I was going to go to bed, my wife already left for work, so he goes, I was laying in bed, and all of a sudden, you know, right when I get ready to go to sleep, something jumps on my chest and runs out of the room. He said, when he looks up real quick, because it scared him, it startled him, he looked, and then you could see something go outside the room. Well, we have security guards that come there and check on us and see if we need anything throughout the night, about three or four times throughout the night. One of the guards was going to what they call the ballroom, which is under construction, and he used to have a beautiful big grand piano in there. Well, he said he saw something like a shadow or something fly around a corner. He thought maybe it was the wind opened up and blew one of the workers' jackets. We were around the corner, and he saw the jacket go around another corner, and he said he followed it, and he said this thing, whatever it was, knew where it was going, because every time he get around the corner, it would already be hitting another corner. He said it took him through places he's not even ventured through, and you know, the hotel yet. So I don't know what it is. It's really horrible. My personal experience, I felt as I was walking through one of the halls, I hear somebody walking behind me. I stop real quick, check around, turn my flashlight on. Nothing is there. One of the biggest things I've had happen to me was last night. On the third floor, you can look down a stairwell. It's an original stairwell from the, you know, 1895. It's very beautiful, very unique, and all that. I looked through my flashlight on. I turned my flashlight, saw somebody looking up at me. Well, it was like maybe getting ready to get 6 o'clock in the morning, so I thought maybe my eyes are playing tricks on me. So I looked back down there. Nothing was there. And then what I was going to do on my last rounds, I was up top, the 11th floor, and we used the stairwells to go down and hit our one buttons. Well, while we were up top on the 11th floor, while I was on top of the 11th floor, I was going through one of the stairwells, and I heard somebody very heavy-footed walking up. So I said, you know, I'll just be polite. I'll stand to the side real quick, let this person come through, and I can go and go about my rounds. Nobody came up. I heard very heavy footsteps coming up, and I heard them coming right up before they hit the, you know, emergency door, and I didn't see anybody there. It stopped right about before you hit the last step, before you get to the 11th floor. I looked around, nobody was there. Second, if I maybe they went back down to the 10th floor and see me up there, and then went back down 10th floor. I hurried up, ran down to the 10th floor real quick, looked through, nobody was out in the hallway. It is some of the most, I don't know, unnerving stuff that you'll feel. You go to a room, and it's just like, it feels like there's like so many eyes watching you, following you around. It's just, it's really horrible. Like, I can't explain it any other way, but my father's really worried because he's saying, like, little girl singing and stuff. It kind of sounds demonic and stuff like that, but I don't know. Maybe something was watching out after the little girl when the guard went down there and figured, hey, that guy's getting too close, and then let's do this. And pushed him against the wall. But I don't know. Maybe you guys can figure it out. I will get the video as soon as possible. Both the videos. I'll try to do a couple other videos, because we do have a lot of monitors, so I'm trying to check those and see if I can get more videos. But as soon as I get those, I will post them to your guys' site on Facebook. You guys have a good night. Bye.
It's some creepy video.
Which page?
You know, I know he sent them to me privately. I don't know if he's publicly posted them. But I'll reach out to him right now and just ask him if he has posted them publicly. Because I didn't want to take him and post him publicly if he's not supposed to post them publicly.
Right, because he could get in trouble.
Yeah, and I don't want him to lose his job or anything. But exactly. But I can tell you, I did.
No, maybe you do want him to lose his job. he could get unemployment. That could be the best thing that happens to the poor guy.
That's true. But it's, I saw them myself, and it's weird. That especially that gate one that he talks about. Because you're seeing this thing, and it's in full frame. There's nothing about it where it's like, there's nothing out of frame where it's like somebody pushed it or something. And it looks like a heavy darn gate. So, I mean, of course, anything that you look at, there's ways of manipulating. But, you know, taking him at his word as a security guard, looking at this thing on camera, unless there's somebody that's just wandering around that building fucking with people, meaning a person, I'm thinking this is, there's something paranormal because it is weird. It is,
well,
you know.
Just, but when you listen to him talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you think, eh, this person could be making this up. I didn't feel that at all listening to him.
No, you're exactly right. There's a certain cadence to a voice when someone's sharing a story. And I've become pretty good at BS detecting. I didn't get any of that from him. It just felt like he's kind of freaked out. This is a weird thing that's going on at his work. So
at one point he goes, I don't know, maybe you guys can figure it out.
Yeah.
Hell no, we can't figure that out.
I'm not going to have any answers for you, but I believe you. It is some weird stuff.
Lord.
I'm going to ask.
Man, you know, I don't know about his city, but I know that unemployment is pretty low right now. I think he could find a job. I just do. I just couldn't do. You know, I'd be working a crap job, a real true crap job before I could put myself through that, because there's just so many issues that go with it that it's so beyond disturbing just at work, because you can hear it in his voice. I mean, and then just knowing you have to go into that and you don't know what's going to happen, and no way.
It's very freaky. I just asked him if he could post him to our Facebook group page. If you're not a follower of that yet, this is not our main Facebook page. This is the Real Ghost Stories Online group. You got to look for that because Facebook makes life so easy. So find our group page. Excuse me. There we go. I'm getting sick now. Find our group page. Request to join. I'll approve you. And then you can see those videos up there when he posts them there, if he posts them there. But there's a lot of interesting things. It's kind of like replace message boards is the Facebook group page. So a lot of people chat back and forth about the episodes, post things up there at their own free will, and everybody can kind of conversate about it.
Yeah, I've seen some really good stuff on that page.
Yeah, so be sure to join
that. Sometimes just stuff that makes you laugh.
Yeah, so be sure to join that, hopefully you can get those up there, because they're weird. They're certainly, I see a lot of videos that are sent to me, and I'm the worst person. It's funny because I do this for a living, but I'm the worst person in the world to watch a video and go, oh yeah, there's a ghost. Like, it always, I have to be like walked up to it and somebody pointing saying, right there. Oh, I see it now. But this is pretty evident of what the hell's going on. So it is pretty creepy. It's like those, remember the pictures that were computer generated in the early 90s that everybody would stare at? I called them dot pictures. It was just like, it looked like static. And if you stood there and stared at them for, I don't know. Some people could see it like immediately. Some people it took a little bit longer. Me, it took a really, really long time. And I think I've only seen like two in the course of ever staring at them for God knows how long. It's like, oh, look, a dinosaur. But they were, it was just like that. You know, some.
Well, that crap happens on Facebook. Like, there's one the other day with a black circle. Like, look at that. That's terrifying. I'm like, I don't know what it is. But then nobody's saying what it is because you're supposed to look for it. And they're like, oh, I looked at that forever before I saw it. I'm like, I still can't see it. I still do this day. I don't know what it was.
It's also,
I was staring at it for 10 minutes the other day. And I'm like, I don't know.
The audio version of that is what was like earlier last year. There was something where it was a word that was said, and then what do you hear? Is it this? And half the
yawn ears.
Yeah,
something else.
Yeah, I don't remember what I heard, but I think I was in the minority of like, or maybe I was in the majority. I don't know. I don't know how the hell it worked, but I did not for the life of me understand how people were hearing the other side of whatever it was.
like that dress thing.
Yeah. So it's interesting. It's funny. We're watching or listening to Pandora the other day on the TV, and then a Dave Matthews song came up, and it shows you the album cover. And one of his early album covers was a dot picture, and that's how I was thinking of dot pictures. Like, remember that shit? Whatever happened to that? But there you go.
There's a ton that replaced it.
What's that?
There's so much that has replaced
everything. Has replaced it. I suppose if you were listening to a lot of Dave Matthews getting really high, I guess maybe that would help looking at the dot picture.
That's probably exactly why they did the dot picture on that album.
Exactly right.
It's just to keep the stoners more involved in the Dave Matthews band career and more invested.
Did you see that album? Oh my God.
You gotta come to my house and check this out.
Be funny if there's like really nothing on it, like it really didn't turn into anything, but everybody interprets it as being something completely different. Now that would be a great way of screwing with Dave Matthews fans right there. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. And that's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like it, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, EPP as we affectionately call them. Go to ghostpodcast.com, sign up, $5 a month. You get access to all the bonus stuff, all the bonus episodes, new ones every single week. Advanced episodes, e-copy of the book, and more. Ghostpodcast.com. Check it out. Keep us on the air. Until next time, for Carol and Tony, thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.